Let us commence our worship today with hymn 577. 577. Is Jesus my Saviour, my husband and friend, and my elder brother, who loves to the end? Then of him with pleasure forever I'll sing. He is my rich treasure, my God and my King. There's a very important question in the first two lines. If the answer is yes, favoured soul. If the answer is no, let us sing with the prayer that the Lord might reveal himself to us and grant us the blessings that are in this hymn. Hymn 577.
Holy Word of God, we'll read together the book of the Exodus, chapters 11 and part of chapter 12. Book of the Exodus, chapter 11 and the first 14 verses of chapter 12. The Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbour, and every woman of her neighbour, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favour in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me, and bow down themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance for ever. And may God bless to us that reading from his holy word, and may he teach us each how to pray. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we do pray and seek thy gracious help and blessing and presence here this Lord's Day, as we gather ourselves together in this house of prayer, this Lord's Day morning. We do pray thy special help. Lord, help one in speaking and each of us in hearing. May there be for us each a thus saith the Lord. We do pray that thou grant us that ear to hear, that heart to receive. Lord, we pray that it might be according to thy holy will and purpose to speak to us through the reading of thy word, the preaching of thy word, through the singing of thy praises. Lord, we pray that we may hear thy voice, and that, Lord, we may be found truly receiving. We think of that word, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so we pray, Lord, that thou wilt truly make us followers of thee. Lord, there are many things that by nature we follow. We confess, Lord, our many sins, the corruption of our nature. Lord, our hearts are prone to wander and follow the things of this world. We pray, Lord, that thou bless us and touch our hearts, and to truly change our hearts. Lord, may there be within us each the Spirit of the Lord dwelling in us by faith. We pray for that new birth, Lord, that it might be seen and evidenced in the lives of each here, born again of the Spirit of the Lord, made alive in the things of God, truly receiving from thy gracious hand blessings for our never dying souls. Oh, that we may be among those that are recorded in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, but as many as received him. Oh Lord, do then work that mighty work of grace, we humbly pray, in those that are yet dead in sin. And O Lord, where thou hast begun, we pray that thou would hasten the day when they are brought into that liberty, that they may hear that voice of divine power, loose him and let him go. Pray, Lord, that there may be that loosing of the tongue to declare thy praises, or to make mention of the loving kindnesses, the loving kindness of the Lord. So help us, Lord, we pray. Lord, we have a fierce enemy who seeks to undermine and seeks to disrupt and frustrate the things, Lord, that we attend to. How he seeks to disrupt our worship, stealing away our thoughts. Lord, we pray that thou clear our minds of unnecessary things. Lord, that our minds might not be so filled with the things of today, the busyness of life, the cares of this world that choke the word. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou draw us to thyself and lift us above the reach of inferior things, and set our affections on things above. And Lord, we pray that Christ may be revealed and made precious, that he will become the all and in all for each one of us, to be wholly taken up with him. So help us, Lord, we pray. Thou knowest, Lord, how we've come, and Lord, thou knowest what need we have. We pray that thou supply every need, that thy word this day, Lord, may be suited by that great work of the Holy Spirit to meet each case. We pray for that power, that there may be the power of the Holy Spirit attending the word, sealing it home in hearts, in power, in authority, that it may be the word of a king. For where the word of the king is, there is power. We pray that thou wilt command the blessing, even life forevermore. We pray that though delivered in weakness, that the word may be received in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And Lord, we do pray for this church and congregation. We pray, Lord, for those that bear office here, Lord, be with them and help them. Lord, grant them that wisdom, that grace, that strength in that labour in thy name. Lord, as they serve the church here, we pray that thou wilt graciously help them and bless all that is done. Here we pray. Bless this church. Lord, do pour out thy blessing upon them. Lord, bind their hearts together in love. May there be thy presence, Lord, known among them. Oh, that they may, Lord, know their hearts knit one to another in the fear of the Lord. Lord, that they may esteem other better than themselves. That they may bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, we pray for the congregation that thou would bless them. Lord, that there may be those brought out of darkness into the marvellous light of the gospel, constrained by thy love to take up their cross in an outward open profession and to follow thee in thy ways. Oh, we pray, Lord, that word might be fulfilled. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And so we pray, Lord, that thou wilt pour out thy blessing. So that, Lord, if they should remain silent, the very stones would cry out. Lord, do take away the fear of man. Lord, take away those things that would stifle and oppress. We pray, Lord, that thy grace may, Lord, move the hearts of one another, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. We pray then that thou bring to the view of each the precious blood of Jesus, to be led to the cross of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, we pray that there may be many brought to look upon him whom they have pierced and mourn for him. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou forgive us our every sin. Lord, we pray that we may not sin carelessly. We are all sinners, Lord. But may we be truly shown the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Oh, may we see what it is in thy holy sight. And Lord, may we be made truly sorry. Oh, may it be a bitter thing, those things that we once delighted to do. Oh, Lord, may there be that change of our desire, of our taste, of our hungering and thirsting, that we may truly hunger and thirst after righteousness. We have none of our own by nature. Oh Lord, we We confess that our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy beloved Son, that spotless righteousness of thy incarnate Son, the Word made flesh. Oh, we do pray that we may seek for that hiding place, that refuge, which is only in Christ Jesus, where there is therefore now no condemnation. And may we know, oh, by sweet experience, what it truly means to enter in. Or that we may, as Noah and those went in, oh, into the ark, may we enter in, and oh, may we know that safety. Oh, we pray that we may hear the voice of Jesus. Oh, as Noah heard those words, "Come thou." Oh, that we may, Lord, be brought and made nigh. And we may find our acceptance in the Lord Jesus Christ and shelter there. We pray for the children, Lord. Do remember them. We thank thee, Lord, for the little babies. Lord, we thank thee for those born here. Lord, we rejoice, Lord, with those that rejoice. Lord, we do pray that thou bless the children growing up and help them and keep them and guide them in all things. We pray, Lord, for parents with the many weighty responsibilities and burdens that come. We pray, Lord, that our children might be thy children. And Lord, we do pray, Lord, I'll remember any with difficult things. Those, Lord, with heavy burdens to bear. Those, Lord, with that cross to bear, to carry day by day. Lord, thou knowest how Satan would come in when we feel tired or forgotten maybe. Lord, we pray that thou wilt send that help, strengthen and bless and grant that strength and grace sufficient for each day. Lord, we pray for those who have things they've sought and prayed for and are yet waiting upon thee. Lord, be with those. Oh, may they prove it is good to wait. And Lord, may they be helped in their waiting. May there be that watching, that waiting, and Lord, may there be that daily praying. Oh, that may there be that prayer without ceasing. And Lord, as things are laid upon our hearts in prayer, may there be that wrestling. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Be with seeking souls. Lord, do deliver them. May this be the glad hour. Lord, do help them. Hasten that time. Lord, that there may be that sense of pardon and peace in their hearts. So help us, Lord, here this day. We have many things. There are many things in our nation. There's, Lord, those that have their afflictions. We think of our friend, Mr. Daniel Bousfield, and we think of his wife and Lord, the little one, and we do pray for him in this time of anxiety and, Lord, uncertainty. May he know that peace which passeth all understanding. Do visit him, Lord, in that hospital, and Lord, we pray that it might please thee to recover him from this, what we call accident. Lord, we pray that he may regain the use of his leg, if it be thy will. Guide those that have the care of him. May those decisions that have to be made be ordered by thee, and grant, Lord, thy blessing upon all that is done. And Lord, who supply the need of their family. Lord, we thank thee for that word. And surely it's one that we each know something of. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, thy hand of providence unfolding day by day. Oh Lord, give us eyes to truly see where our help cometh from. And so help us and teach us and lead us into the truth as it is in Jesus. And bless us with that living faith. Lord, we ask. We pray, remember us now then as we turn to thy word. And Lord, may those things which are of thee abide and remain with us. And anything not of thee be forgotten. Forgive, Lord, anything that is amiss in our worship. We ask these things, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 976. 976. Jesus is a wise physician, skillful and exceeding kind. Through him sinners find remission and enjoy sweet peace of mind. Hymn 976.
Will you turn with me to our reading, Exodus chapter 11. With the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from the second part of the seventh verse. The book of the Exodus, chapter 11, and the second part of verse 7. That ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Exodus chapter 11 and the second part of verse 7. That ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. These are the words of the Lord through his servant Moses. Verse 4, thus saith the Lord. And these things, these thus saith the Lord's, how we would do well if we would hear and hearken and consider these thus saith the Lord's. Thus saith the Lord. This is Moses speaking, delivering the Lord's message, speaking to Pharaoh and whoever might be with him at the time. And he says this, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Oh, what a lesson. What things were to be seen. Oh, what was to be revealed. What was to take place shortly in the land of Egypt. You know, dear friends, I do wonder if we don't really appreciate or if we really consider the atrocities that were done in the land of Egypt. The persecution of the children of Israel, the oppression, the affliction that was upon them. Many, many years held in captivity. Slavery, we've heard it recently, haven't we? And we detest it, don't we? When we hear of slavery and the oppression. It's man, isn't it, at his worst. When he takes fellow man and exploits and oppresses. And, you know, dear friends, this was a dreadful, dark time. And these things haven't stopped, have they? You know, we've seen it, haven't we, throughout history. And surely we see the at times the rising up of evil, the corruption of our fallen nature, and how at times these things are outwardly made known. God, oh, how the these things in the sight of God are an offence. Oh, the wickedness of man in the mistreatment of fellow man. That the Lord said that in calling Moses in the backside of the desert to be the one to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, that the Lord said, speaking at the burning bush, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Oh, the divine mystery, which is waiting for the Lord's deliverance. The Lord sees, that the Lord notices, the Lord cares. And maybe there's one or another, and you feel in some way oppressed, maybe not by people, but by maybe circumstances or by your own sin, and you feel in some way held captive and in oppression and in distress and a sorrowful of heart, and it seems to go on and on and on. Oh, may that time come, and may it be soon, when the Lord reveals his mighty hand and makes bare his holy arm and sends the deliverance, and I am come down to deliver them. I am come down to deliver them. Oh, that's what they needed. A deliverance from the oppression of their taskmaster. Well, here the time has come. There has been those 9 warnings, and Pharaoh has had 9 opportunities to set the people free. But each time, when the plague is lifted, the heart hardens, and he would not let them go. Mark one thing, friends, the Lord is not hasty to judgment. You must see this, if nothing else, this morning. Those 9 warnings, both to Pharaoh and to the land of Egypt, that the Lord, oh, that the Lord is not hasty in his judgment. He will judge. His judgment upon this sin-cursed world is coming. But in this time, before that great solemn day of judgment, we see, don't we, the Lord's long-suffering. We see his patience, his forbearance, and we see his mercy. And we know it is fulfilling his purposes. There are yet souls to be brought out of darkness into the light and liberty of the gospel. If there wasn't, time would be no more. But oh, May we not rest in that careless, carefree spirit which thinks every day will continue as those before. Time moves on. I remember James Burgess. He came to Bethel and he mentioned he saw a clock, and there was some sort of sign, plaque, and it said on it, "You can waste me, but you can't stop me." Is a reference to time. You can waste me, but you can't stop me. What a solemn thing. Oh, may these things be laid to our hearts, that ye may know how that the Lord hath put a difference between Egypt, between the Egyptians and Israel. You know, friends, there's a difference. And you know there's a difference, isn't there, between a man and a woman. God in creation made a difference. But this isn't the difference we're speaking of. This is a God-given difference, but not that which comes through our nature. This is a difference. There's three things on my mind in this. You know, there's the difference that we're speaking of here between the Egyptians and Israel. Is that same difference which separated between twin boys, Jacob and Esau. You think of that. Born of the same woman, same father and mother, born on the same day. Difference. Do you know that difference? It's separated between twin boys. Wasn't in their outward appearance. I'll tell you what it was. The apostle tells us what it was. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Oh, friends, what a difference. It cut straight through, divided those twins. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And it split a company of people in the land of Egypt. And it divided the Israelite from the Egyptian this solemn night of the Passover. So it's this difference. Twin boys. And that difference. And then I thought, well, what about husband and wife? An earthly tie based on love, mutual love, one between the other. Spending time one with another. know, this difference. The Word of God tells us it's split between a man and his wife. Who am I thinking of? Lot. And Lot's wife. Friends, what a solemn thing. The Word of God tells us, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Oh, she was brought out of that wicked city, but not in her heart. She came out of the city with those angels and her husband, but not in her heart. What a difference. That ye may know. Ye may know. Oh, these things are left on record in the pages of Scripture. That ye may know. Oh, that ye may know that the Lord doth put a difference. Oh, solemn, isn't it? Split between man and his wife. The Lord doth put a difference. Well, may there be no splitting of siblings. But may there be no splitting of husband and wives that are among us. These things are eternally significant, aren't they? And you know, it splits, this difference separates between friends. This is the third one I thought of. Friends. And who am I thinking of? I'm thinking of David and Ahithophel. Ahithophel. The one who had given David wise counsel. The one, naturally speaking, who was a support for David. And we read, don't we? Psalm 55. David, well, he speaks here. Verse 13. Verse 12, for it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. That's a solemn thing, isn't it? That ye may know that the Lord doth put a difference. What a solemn thing. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. I tremble to even say these things, read these things. Dear friends, may it not be that the difference between the Egyptian and the Israelite, this God-given difference, might separate between any here. May that line of demarcation, that separating line, may it not go between husband and wife here. May that not go between brothers and sisters, siblings here. May it not go between friends here. May that separate, may that line be outside, and that the whole church and congregation, the other side of it, the right side of it, but that the Word of God, that which David had to walk out. And what was the end of Ahithophel? When the Lord turned the counsel of Ahithophel to confusion, and Absalom rejected his counsel, he went home and he set his house in order and he hung himself. But we took sweet counsel together and we walked unto the house of God. Oh, friends, what a difference between the sweet psalmist David and Ahithophel. What is this difference? What made this difference? Grace. Grace makes that difference. The grace of God, that sets apart, doesn't it? Psalm 3 or Psalm 4. Psalm 4, I think. Verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. Oh, this is the Lord that sets apart. It's grace. It's the grace of God. Grace that sets apart one from another. It's grace that makes a difference. Oh, may you and I have a religion. A religion which is real. A religion which sets us apart. A religion that makes a difference. May we have not just a sort of religion that sets us apart in our dress or in the activities that we do outwardly, but that religion, the grace of God in the heart, which clearly makes a difference between darkness and light. Oh, that difference which is lasting and real. Oh, the Lord doth put a difference. And as I said, it isn't just. There will be a difference in your behaviour. Surely there must be. But your behaviour and the way you respond to things, the way you act and conduct yourself, if this If God has made a difference in your heart, it will be because of that difference within you that then evidences itself in your outer being. And it may make that difference in what you wear. And maybe because your outward form was so irreligious and prone to evil, then such a contrast in the outward will appear. You know, some of us in our misspent youth were felt to be looking back 500 pence sinners, and you could see a change, and others could see a change because of how outwardly evil we were. But with others, oh, not so much of an outward change, but there will be. However good one might appear and look, there will always be within, known and felt, a difference. I'm not what I once was. And it's a God-given difference. Reformation in and of itself is not regeneration. Reading the life of my Uncle Tom Melling, he wrote that in his little biography, that he was so impressed upon his natural mind that he changed his outward behaviour and became very zealous in telling others what they should do and how they should dress and how they should live their lives. But you know, he said he was not changed at all within his own heart looking back. And he had to prove that reformation, he reformed his outward character, but his inward man had not been changed. Then his change of his outward one himself didn't make a difference to his own heart. Oh yes, he read the Bible more, but he didn't know. Oh, that we may know. We may know this difference. Oh, that the Lord doth put a difference. He does make a difference. And that we might both know it in the understanding and know our need to pray the Lord will make this difference for us. He'll give us that wise and understanding heart. But also that we might follow on to know what that difference feels like. Because, dear friends, it's a blessed difference. Oh, it's a difference which brings peace with God and brings true joy. And it brings life and light and liberty. It was so many things are seen in the outward experience of the children of Israel, isn't there? Which, if the Lord would give us the spiritual eye to see, we can trace out, can't we, so many precious things. You know, this difference. What was the difference that night between the Israelite and the Egyptian? When the destroying angel went through the land, was it? The blood. The blood. The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This is the difference between the Egyptian and the Israelite. That night, the Israelites sheltered beneath the blood. The blood sprinkled, the blood applied on the doorpost and on the lintel. And the blood, a token for you. And the blood shall be a token for you. Be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. Oh, and who saw it that night? You know, we want to see, don't we? We want to see that precious blood, don't we? To shelter beneath that precious blood, the blood that was shed for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, what a difference. What a difference. When the blood, the sacrifice, the blood of the Lamb, what a difference it made. What a difference the blood of Jesus, that sacrifice for sin, the Lamb without blemish and without spot. What a difference that makes. Oh, what does it do? What's the effect? It turns away the sword of divine justice and wrath. It spares the one who shelters beneath. It's condemnation through sin. It's certain punishment. We're sinners. But what a difference when the blood is applied. That the blood of Jesus is seen to shelter, to find that refuge beneath the blood. Oh, the cross of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Does it mean anything to you? What did we open with? We opened with a question, didn't we? Is Jesus my Saviour, my husband and friend, and my elder brother who loves to the end? Is he? Is he? Oh, he wasn't, was he? You weren't born loving him. What made the difference? Now, maybe you don't. Like our friend said, maybe it is no this morning. What will make it a yes? What will make that difference? Christ revealed, Christ made precious. The sentence had gone out that every house in Egypt, every house was under judgment. Every house was under judgment except the ones that had the blood applied. The sentence had gone forth. The angel had that commission to go through the land. The Lord set a mark. He put a solemn and separating difference between one house and another. There may have been a mingling of the houses because of those that had to serve these Egyptians. But the Lord knoweth them that are his. And oh, what a mark. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood was for the angel, the destroying angel, to see. The Israelite couldn't see it. Once it was applied, and when he was sheltering, he lost sight. He had to stay within his house. He had to take refuge. Faith says, all is well. Faith can't see now the blood. That which is the token. But there they wait, and wait in faith, hoping, trusting, believing that God's appointed sacrifice will bring the blessed end, and will turn away divine wrath and justice from their door. Oh, what a token. Is that what the Lord will see when he sees us in that great day? Oh, what will he see? You standing in all your wretchedness and sin? Or will he look upon him, you in his Son? Is that what he'll see? He'll see you in Jesus. Oh, that's a precious thing, isn't it? That the Lord will look upon his people in his Son, through the Lord Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Oh, it's behold me, and the children thou hast given. Oh, this is safety. This is peace. The safety and the security of the people of God. If you don't know it, may the Lord so attract your soul to it. Oh, and give you that sense of need of it. Oh, and make that difference in your soul. In your life, that only he can make, that he might reveal his Son to you, as he's pleased to reveal something of your sin to you. It'll turn your eyes away from yourself to look to the only hope and refuge for a guilty sinner, which is in Jesus Christ. And that precious blood which did for sin atone. Well, that angel went through, and it separated between the Egyptian and the Israelite that night. And the Lord brought them out and set them free. And may that be something that you and I know by way of experience what it is to be brought out and delivered, and then when the Lord's time comes to be brought in to the promised land at last, that ye may know how that the Lord hath put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Parrish will address the Sunday school this afternoon. Mr. Gilbert Hyde will preach on Tuesday evening. There'll be a prayer meeting for the nation and the churches on Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, and Mr. Bernard Burgess will preach next Lord's Day. And if I may ask, if you haven't already placed your magazine order, if you could let me know, please. Let us close with hymn 343. 343. If Jesus is ours, we have a true friend, whose goodness endures the same to the end. Our comforts may vary, our frames may decline. We cannot miscarry, our aid is divine. Hymn 343.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.